You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. What are the chances, really, that two reports of shooting incidents that both took place this week within one day of each other, and both of which took place within a few miles of my home in 95% plus white Western Pennsylvania, where shootings are pretty damned rare, would both be committed by two different males, both of whom are named Keyshawn? Incredible, I tell you. I live in a village in Cambria County, Pennsylvania, not far from the small city of Johnstown. Not too far away is another small city, Altoona, in Blair County. It's a nice place to live, despite severe economic decline. And perhaps I should add that the great qualities of this mountainous, forested, traditional white folks kind of place, still redolent of the old America, are there in part because of the severe economic decline. The big corporations that need lots of stoop labor haven't located any plants here, so there's little incentive for Dominicans and Somalis and mestizos to chase new jobs here. The mountainous terrain not only discourages development and agribusiness, at least to the extent that there are still lots of forested hills and trails with no signs of human habitation for miles on end, But maybe the resulting lower miles per gallon scares off massive distribution center facilities, another attractant for the wrong kind of people. The winter temperatures high in these hills are not too different from southern Alaska's, so that's a factor too. The steel industry that once was the region's economic powerhouse was destroyed by the Jew globalists' free trade policies a long time ago. The white people left behind are reasonably intelligent and resilient, and they have been making do pretty well in the aftermath of that destruction, and while facing the reality of greatly reduced incomes. One man who lives nearby, of German descent, took what looked to me like metal shipping containers, connected them together, added an expanse of south-facing glass windows, buried the structure about 7/8 below ground and 1/8 above ground, then landscaped his yard into a stunning garden and has one of the most attractive homes in his town. And it's a partially underground home with close to zero heating and cooling costs. He did all this while in his 70s. Another local man, also in his 70s, of Italian descent, bought a dilapidated structure and, using very little money and using himself as the labor force, totally renovated it, including making the attic into a habitable second story, and added beautiful gardens and fountains and other stonework to make it a real showplace of self-reliance. The residents of this area did, however, fall prey to the Jews' promotion of selfishness and childlessness. White people just haven't had enough children in the last few generations, and it really shows around here. The people's money was stolen by the Jews through universal usury, of course, as well as through free trade. So some people around here, even good quality people, can't keep up their properties as well as they'd like to. And the childlessness and the chasing of dollars causing the already small younger generation to move elsewhere has left a very low demand for housing. This has led to incredibly low real estate prices, 90% lower than many U.S. cities, making it a great place to move for those who can work remotely, but at the same time has resulted in some properties being abandoned because no one wants them. And after a few years of abandonment and neglect, they can't even be given away. There are parts of these cities where the all the money has left town and half the people syndrome is very evident. And into such cracks, the blacks and other non-white invaders are now starting to seep in. Johnstown itself now contains somewhat more than 15% non-whites, something that's never happened before. And it's getting worse, though the surrounding villages and countryside are still 95% plus white folks. That brings us to the two Keyshawns. The first Keyshawn incident was actually a hostage situation that almost resulted in a shooting. Keyshawn number one is Keyshawn W. Cooks, a Congoid, naturally, with a name like that, who 4 days ago took hostages in a housing project in Johnstown, where he was hiding out from authorities because he was wanted on a probation violation. He held off police for more than 5 hours, holding three people hostage at gunpoint, including a mother and her 1-year-old child, holding the barrel of his gun against the mother's head. One hostage managed to escape and call 911. This embodiment of the content of their character was wanted on a probation violation after he recklessly killed a woman who was foolish enough to accept a ride from him on his motorcycle in 2017. Apparently, killing the woman, in the police reform regime being pushed on America by Jews, didn't justify jailing him for more than maybe 5 minutes or something like that. So he was roaming free. He was also roaming free after being charged just a week and a half ago for extreme cruelty to a neighbor's dog, a pit bull, which he later also killed for no discernible reason. One does wonder why he wasn't arrested on the probation violation then. But ours is not to question why when it comes to our beloved African-American equals. Keyshawn number two, he spells his name differently, but do these erecti even spell, is Keyshawn Randolph of Altoona. One day after his fellow rainbow creature held his hostages in Johnstown, Keyshawn number two was charged for showing up at the front door of an Altoona home with two fine companions, all of whom were wearing masks that probably would look a little excessive even to Commissar Fauci. They pointed a gun in the face of the man, doubtless another sainted equal, who answered the door, and demanded to know where Dasak was. Failing to receive an appropriate answer and perhaps feeling piqued, as well as stressed by the omnipresent racism all around him, one of the fine chaps with Keyshawn pulled the trigger at point-blank range, and despite his best efforts to aim his gun, only succeeded in shooting his victim in the thigh. He really tried, I'm sure, to do better. Now, an Ebonics translator will probably be brought in to see if Keyshawn number two will rat out the other fine chaps who went calling with him on that day. All of this hitting the news in just 2 days is pretty remarkable, considering that I'm only telling you the stories that I personally read about in just 48 hours' time, that involved just this small, nearly all-white two-county area, and limiting myself strictly to perpetrators named Keyshawn. I admit there are amusing aspects to it all, but things really are changing for the worse, even in places to which racially conscious whites have been purposely retreating in recent years. How long before Johnstown and Altoona and the surrounding area is totally inundated by the brown tide? How long before the mayor and the police chief are both named Keyshawn? If that happens, there will be as little hope here, or in whatever white redoubt your family has sought out, as there is in Philadelphia, which is zero hope, in case you didn't know. If we do nothing, we extinguish hope ourselves. Let's not do that. Let's start to do what National Alliance Chairman Will Williams has been urging us to do for over 20 years. Think racially. Act locally. Let's do half an hour of research and find out exactly what entities and individuals are clearing the way for the brown tide in your town, and then oppose them. Show up at their meetings. Tell enough truth to gain allies among the passive listeners and attendees, and push it to the point where they either shut you down or preferably shut the whole meeting down. A little truth can do that. Mention the Alliance before they do, putting your spin on what we're all about. Become known as the main opponent of the engineered invasion. In my local town, I discovered that Carnegie Mellon University, flush with Jewish usurers' cash, has been sponsoring a group called Vision Together 2025, which promises all sorts of benefits to our city and county if only we will open ourselves up to more non-white immigration. And someone has been putting up billboards in the worst hoods in Philly, telling the Congoids there what a sweet deal they can get if they move to subsidized housing in Johnstown. In another county, a few dozen miles away, a business coalition, read Local Jews and Rapacious Capitalists, has formed to push for new low-income housing projects in a pristine white small town near a beautiful state park. These people have names. Make them infamous. And I'd wager that some of the local town councilors would be delighted to see some pushback against the vultures who are trying to bully them or bribe them into ruining their town. Such opportunities abound. All it takes is a little courage. Do you have the courage? Test yourself. Find out. And join the National Alliance. We stand a lot stronger when we stand together. We're building a real-world white community in eastern Tennessee. And we have outposts all over this continent and on other continents, too, all working together to give each other hope and to support that real-world community. Patronize our bookstore. Commit to sending $20 or $200 every month. How much do you spend on less important things? Send the news of your successes to us, and we'll publish them online or in our printed bulletin for members. Our people do not have to sink beneath the brown tide. Our children can have a future brighter than all imagining. They can live white and marry white and have a white nation again, and ultimately carry that on into infinity, if we do right. We must do right. Start today. Promise to yourself that you will join the Alliance and help the Alliance. Then keep that promise every day for the rest of your life. Think racially. Act locally.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people, 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
This is a fascinating look at one of the most lied about periods in the history of mankind. In keeping with our motto, free movies, free minds, free speech, I ask that you watch, you decide. A statement made by UndergroundDocumentaries.com in 2013. The only untold story of World War II you will ever need to know.
You have done a magnificent job. The visual impact that people will experience when they see what you have produced, you've been very impartial in your presentation, and you have allowed the people, the viewers, to make up their own mind. You present the evidence, and anyway, it's an honor to have you on the program.
I want to say that the work that Dennis Wise has undertaken and accomplished, and the value of this work cannot be underestimated at this time, especially. He has undertaken to present actual information about the most controversial period in human history. We have been given a narrative that has painted a picture, an image for the world to consume And we have to look at this. The reason this is so important at this time for everyone to look at is we have to challenge the lies. Okay, that's one thing right there, just from a moral standpoint. In our time today, it is more than that, just a morality. It is a matter of physical survival itself, because we have to look at this period and look at exactly what happened, which Dennis Wise has presented to us in his great accomplishment that he has put together there. We have to look at what happened. Who had power in 1945? It was Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt. And what did they do with this power? As again illustrated in his great work, The Greatest Story Never Told. Yes, if you want to see the dangers that are facing the world today, just watch this film. One can see the actual facts, indisputable facts, of what really happened at that time.
To find out more on this phenomenal documentary series on Adolf Hitler and World War II, go to thegreateststorynevertold.tv.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed, and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being, and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with a conservative, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. There's no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody, send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books. And the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual idea. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of us, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. Won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for the for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.